You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Madison. Welcome to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. Today we have your hosts, Austin and Cameron, and then the wives. Hi, Ashlyn.
Hey.
Are on today, and yeah, we're here to speak the truth.
And the truth will set you free.
Oh, gosh. Truth, I really am regretting not shooting that 8-point, even though I couldn't legally shoot it. That's my truth for today.
Maybe your truth will turn into a reality in a week.
I sure hope so. So here's one thing that I want to give everyone an update on, and actually a kind of a serious topic was the trail cameras that we talked about and how we were like talking a little bit about how Seek One had talked about how like they were convinced deer can see them. And then you and I go out and we'd been saying like we were not excited for rifle for so long because deer had vanished from the farm. And then all of a sudden we changed the way our cameras face, changed the way where our cameras are. And all of a sudden we find our deer and we're finding different bucks that we haven't seen before. We're finding our big bucks. The only one that we haven't seen come through is that big 10 that I'm really wanting to know where he's at. But I was just thinking about that and like, that's kind of just crazy how, you know, the newer tactic cams don't flash. We can't hear a sound, but the deer somehow know that they're there.
Yeah. Even since we put the cameras out, like the first couple days have been the best days, and then it kind of cooled off again, and then it got a little bit better last night. So I'm interested to see what happens as we get closer to rifle season. It was interesting though to like move cameras and then instantly start getting pictures again. That was kind of a cool feeling, like, yep, there are deer here. They haven't disappeared. But one thing that I think is interesting is, like, the biggest deer that we have, like you mentioned, we only got him on camera a couple times, and then he vanished. And I definitely don't think it's a coincidence that the smaller spike bucks that we see all the time, we see them all the time. Like, yep. It's not a coincidence we see them all the time, and we don't see the most mature bucks that we have. But they're still out there. They're just missing the cameras.
I was going to say, I bet they're there. And, you know, even some of the pictures I've got on the one by your stand, you can see big bucks in the background. Like, you can just tell by the way the deer looks. You're like, yeah, that has to be a buck, and it has to be a big one. But you can't make out what it is. It's just a little too far away. And it's like, come on, just come, like, 20 yards closer, and you'll be right in front of the camera. We'll be able to see you, and they figured that out. But
yeah, one of the best parts was seeing Ash's buck back on camera. I think the next day we had him on camera. And Ash she's got her name on a 7-pointer who's been haunting her a little bit.
What have you named him?
My buck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my buck.
My buck.
Yeah, I've told everybody you can't shoot my buck. So it's mine. It's got my name on it.
All right.
Mine.
Yeah. My buck. I decided to name the big 8 at the lake Donald.
Donald.
Kind of just happened. I don't really know how.
I think I came up with a name. It's better than my buck. Thatcher.
Thatcher.
Yep.
Well, why?
I don't know. It just came in my head.
It just worked. It's kind of like Rufus where hey.
I think the Lord spoke to me and said, this is your deer. His name is Thatcher.
There you go. Now that you better not miss him again. You got him.
I won't. I'll have a gun this time.
Austin, you should name the buck down at the lake Austin's buck. That way I can say I'm going after Austin's buck.
Well, see, that's the reason why I just changed the name too, is because I was like, Austin's gonna be like, well, I'm going after my buck, which was gonna be mine. My 7-point. So I Thatcher.
We're starting to confuse people.
Yeah. Ash has given clear warning to everyone on the farm that the 7-pointer is her buck. But I totally am expecting, like, your dad to shoot it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a public service announcement for Jeff.
Jeff Reinhold.
This called out.
I'm like, I am not going to be able to help you,
you
Jeff.
Are not if you shoot this deer, I will be so mad. He said he won't, but I'm sure the second he sees antlers on it, he's going to want to.
He's going to shoot it. He's going to want to. And then be like, oh, that was your buck?
Right.
I thought this was a different. I thought this was the big seven.
Not your buck. Thatcher.
I thought
this was Thatcher.
Thatcher.
Thatcher. That's his name. He's got a big white spot on his chest.
We should just catch all
our... He's mainly brown.
He's mainly brown. He's got 7 points.
There you go.
We should catch our deer.
He's not the biggest seven, but he's a seven.
Catch our deer, spray paint the name like that pet deer up in St. Louis.
I saw that. That was bad.
Just name it Thatcher.
Oh, my gosh.
That way dad doesn't shoot it.
So, Ash, do you want to give a little backstory on Thatcher? We hadn't really talked about it on the podcast. Maybe Austin and I had. I don't remember.
Don't think we have.
I don't know if we recapped it briefly, but...
Yeah, we may have just went right over it.
There's definitely a reason that you've kind of got it out for this buck alone.
Yeah, I mean, I've told a lot of people they're right. Like, I want this this deer. It's my deer for many different reasons. There's bigger deer on the property, and I don't really care about that. I care about this one because it's kind of ticked me off a little bit. But this is my first season going out, bow hunting, and I use a crossbow. So we get out there one of the first available days that we could make it work, a bow season, and we're sitting in the stand and we're seeing nothing. And at one point there was like, it sounded like a deer had ran, but behind us, and we had both missed it, but I don't really think that's what it was, but it Cam's like, oh, that sounds like one, but we both turn around and like nothing. Yeah. So I don't know what that was, and that's happened twice, so I'm a little
Sasquatch.
Yeah, probably
Sasquatch the squirrel.
Yes, but it sounded like a deer was running behind us. But shortly after that had happened, I'm like, okay, let's give it a few more minutes, like 10 minutes, and then we're going in, because we had not seen anything. And we're sitting in his old tree stand, and we look over, and I don't know, how far away was it the first time?
Like 100, 120 yards.
Yeah. So it's almost at shooting time, and we climb down, and we're sneaking up on it, and we're both thinking, like, there's no way I'll get close enough to get a shot on it. But let's just sneak around just to make this hunt a little bit more fun for me. Because I think Cam could tell I was getting bored and ticked off that we weren't seeing anything.
She was reading a book.
I was. I have finished 2 books since deer season started.
I need to start bringing some books out with me.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Honestly, it's a good idea.
I see most of my deer when I open up the Bible in the morning and do my devotional. I'm usually reading and I turn around and I look out the back window, and right in the middle of the food plot, usually deer. I'm like, oh, cool. Thank you.
And so that's your blue underwear.
Blue underwear. Yeah. We'll get into that later.
So is that why you open and close your Bible about 100 times when you're in the stands?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't work.
Come on. Come on.
Anyway, we sneak up to, I don't know, I think he was at like 60 yards from us. And I guess he was probably like 80 when we get to us. We're like kind of walking up this hill where he turns and faces us. So we stop, and he could see us, but he couldn't really tell what we were. So he started walking right towards us. And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to get a shot on this deer. He probably, I don't know, what did he get, 60?
Yeah, he was 60.
Yeah, I don't know distances well.
It was so dark that I couldn't even really range him at that point. Like it was like 5 minutes to shooting light.
Yeah, it was pretty risky shot, just because it was dark and I don't have the best eyesight at night, but there was nothing behind him, so if I shot anything, I wasn't gonna hit anything bad. But I did shoot at him, and we couldn't tell if I went over him or under him or what happened. I was like, what? Like, I don't know, it was not a great sight, but it was really cool getting to sneak up on him. And because we both thought, like, there's no way we're going to get close enough. He's going to take off. And there were turkey in the field, too, and they took off as soon as, like, we got down and got probably 20 yards. And they took off really fast, so I was like, oh, he's for sure going to take off. But then he kind of, like, took a little stutter step and like looked like he was about to take off. So I was like, well, if I'm going to shoot him, I better shoot now. Cause I think I would be more mad if I didn't shoot when I had the opportunity to. So that was my first time shooting at him. Then a few weeks later,
you know, a story's good when it's like, that's my first time shooting at him.
Yeah. Missed him that time. The few weeks later, we moved to a sort of like a blind. I don't even know what you call that.
It's a pop-up blind.
Yeah. There you go. Nice.
It's a turkey. It's like, I think it's called like the turkey shield or something.
Yeah, it's a shield.
Yeah. So we moved to that kind of like pretty close to where he came out of the woods the first time and close to where Cam's camera was. So we knew we had seen pictures of him there. So we're just waiting. And then all of a sudden we like are there for, I don't know, probably an hour and don't see anything. And we look to our right, and Cam's like, don't move, which always really makes me mad because I'm the one who's going to shoot. And he's like, don't move. I'm like, I have to move. Like, I have to be able to see. I've told Austin this. I have to be able to see what I'm shooting at.
Right.
But I know he's just trying to help me, but I'm like, I have to move. Like, I can't see. But it was far away back towards the stand we were sitting in previous weeks. But there's a deer there, and it bedded down there right behind the stand. And I was like, of course, it's right behind the stand where we were. And then all of a sudden we look back to the field and he's in the middle of the field and we're like, oh, this is great. He's going to come right towards us. This like just out of nowhere, he's in the field and he walks towards us and kind of gets a little suspicious and he's probably 40 yards. And I've probably only shot the crossbow 40 yards, like maybe 5 times at a target. And I don't know, I'm a pretty good shot with 20 yards, but 40 yards is different. I've practiced a little bit more with the 30 yards since then because I'm like, each time he's just going to get a little closer, right?
Was this the time that you discovered that the scope was a little loose?
Yes.
Too? So, I mean, that plays a huge impact.
Yeah. So he's like looking right at us and I've got my scope, which seemed like it was right on him. And he looked like he was about to take off again. And so I was like, okay, we're going to shoot. And I shot and unfortunately, we weren't recording, and so we got out, and we looked around for blood and stuff, and we didn't see anything, but we thought that I had hit him at first, but then he was blowing pretty hard as he took off, and we're like, well, if I hit him in a good spot, he wouldn't be able to blow that hard and take off running that far either. Mm-hmm. So he's giving me a run for my money. So
He keeps coming back for more, though.
I know. He keeps coming back to, like, the same spot for a while until they moved the cameras, and now we're seeing him again, which is great. Because after that last time, I was like, oh, he's gone. He's not coming back.
Yeah.
We saw him like one or maybe 3 times after that on the camera, and then they moved their cameras and saw him again. So
yeah, and
he's
still
out there.
I was going to say, that same night, he came back to the food plot, maybe at 9 or 10, and you could tell he was fine. So that was kind of just that extra comfort of, okay, we definitely didn't hit him. He's still alive. He's still kicking, and
now he's just messing with my brain.
Not injured or anything.
Yeah,
he's playing mind games.
Got Thatcher on your mind now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and the first encounter with him, I kept telling her like, don't feel bad about it. And even with the second one, because those are really tough shots, no matter who's shooting. I mean, the first one is last light, and it was a cool experience too, because I personally had never snuck up to, you know, on a deer that close and to have him turn and just walk straight. I mean, we were in the middle of a field, like on a hill crouched, and we kind of army crawl 20 or 30 yards, get to the middle, and he's just on a line straight to us. That was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah.
And it was last light. Like Ash said, it kind of galloped off and took a, you know, couple quick steps, stopped. And I was like, just shoot, like just send it, see what happens. And come to find out, after all of this, the sight was off anyway.
Yes. Right. So the second time I shot, too, was pretty close to last light. It was a little bit earlier, but it was both shots were both pretty close to last light. And sun setting, it's hard for me to see him. And, yeah, the scope being off isn't helpful.
No, it's
and,
horrible.
Yeah, and so we moved closer to where he was the second time, which I think was the right decision. The problem was we just didn't have enough cover where we were. So both of the deer that we saw that night just like that picked us up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, props to us, I guess, for moving in closer. We got a closer shot at it, but we just didn't have the right cover for it. And so that was another learning opportunity. I mean, he knew where we were, and that made it really tough. Even for her shot, he was looking right at us. Mm-hmm. So it was tough, but
I had to stand up too, because the shield was too high on me. I'm like 5'1" on a good day. So sitting underneath it, like I can't lift and see through the scope. So I had to stand up, and he's looking right at, so he's got his head down, and I stand up and he looks right at me.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, I gotta shoot. But I think I just went right over him.
And it is really hard. I mean, we've taken new people bow hunting this year, but it's hard. And especially at the farm where both of these situations happened, you know, there are other places that we've taken people and we've had success because it's really close quarter situations. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case here. Both those times, if she has a rifle, he's probably dead.
Yeah.
But it's just getting in bow range, especially at the farm, it's one of the tougher spots we have.
Yeah, I think it's also made me a little bit frustrated this season with this particular deer, because every new person most new people that they've taken have gotten like shots off of like 10 yards. And I'm like, why does this not happen to me? Mine's at 100, 120, 60. Like, why are no deer? And like, they would take me to the same spots, and sometimes we wouldn't see anything. And sometimes we'd see a lot, but nothing really big enough worth shooting. And then the last time we went, Austin and I and Cam, we went together and we sat together, and I don't know, we probably saw 11, 12 deer, but most of them were yearlings and fawns, and I have a soft heart for those ones. So shooting a doe with a bunch of fawns and yearlings around him is really hard. So yeah. I opted not to do that. And then I got the one, there was one spike buck with like pinky size antlers.
It had devil horns. You can't call them antlers.
I thought about shooting him. I'm not going to lie, but I held off because I'm going after Thatcher.
Yep.
And that was kind of a cool progression to see that through the season. Shout out to you for putting in the work. You've been a lot more this year than you have. And I'm excited for you to get your first one. That's still one of the goals for season that I want to accomplish for me, but for you too.
Is that the only goal you haven't accomplished so far this season?
I think so, yeah. But we're going to make it happen.
Which is the goal? To get a buck?
To get her first deer. It doesn't necessarily have to be a buck. But one of the cool things that I've been able to see through the season is your mindset has sort of changed as you've gone throughout the season. Whereas, you know, 2 months ago, you were all for shooting that one old spike buck. And then he came out, I don't know, it was like 2 weeks ago. And you kind of had him in your scope and could have shot him. It would have been like a 10-yard shot. Would have been easy. And decide to pass on him because you've had run-ins with other bucks. And even though you haven't killed your first deer yet, it's like you can still sort of sense the like desire to get something for yourself, which I think is kind of cool.
I've also picked up a new hobby, reading, and that helps get me in the woods a little bit more. I'm not going to lie.
Reading.
Yeah, it's peaceful. It's quiet. And then I can go and sit with him if he's the one hunting. And that happened a couple times. And it got me out in the woods more this season than in previous seasons. It also helps that school's kind of dwindling down, so I have more time. But
school's dwindling and it's getting warm. Yeah. So that definitely helps, but
yeah, the weather's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it has been really good. I do feel bad though, because like you said, we have taken people and two of our friends have had 10, 20 yard shots. And I took another buddy of mine last weekend, and it would have been a great buck for you to shoot. Literally walked like 5 yards in front of us. And I was joking with him after. I was like, dude, you didn't even have to raise your scope to shoot that. You could have literally shot that from the hip. It was that close. Like, just pull the trigger. You're going to shoot it in the vitals. And, of course, that doesn't happen with you, but that's just how it goes.
I don't know why. And I think this is probably a more common thing than what I realized, because this is really my first year, like, trying to hunt. I mean, last year I went a few times on the apprentice tag, and then this year I finally got my own what's it called
hunter safety hunter license. Safety.
Yeah. So I went and did the course with Madison, mm-hmm. and that was fun, and got to be a part of that a little bit more. But I think that a lot of hunters face this where they get in the car after and they drive home and you see all these big deer, big does, big bucks, and you're like, why? Why was this like a mile down the road from where we were sitting? This is ridiculous. Because I think we probably saw as many on the way out as we did when we were seated there with those fawns and everything. It was crazy.
Yeah, I remember leaving the farm. And I was almost to the highway, and out in front of me walks a 12-point right into the road. And I was just like, I didn't know these things lived around here. Like, it was a big deer. And then I also remember last year during season, I'm driving back home with Clyde and had to lock up my tires because here comes an 8-point right into the middle of the road, a nice big buck, probably... I'd say 10 minutes from where we were hunting. And I was just like, this is cool. Thanks. Like, I'll be back next year type thing.
Yeah. I'm going to fill the awkward space.
Yeah, I was like, anyways.
Nah. Well, we've taken a couple new people, and I'm going to count my buddy last weekend as a success, because that's about as close as you can get to shooting something. But we've taken people this year for their first time hunting or just their first deer, and it's worked out. But that's all been at one spot. And the spot is just, it's really good for getting deer, which you've kind of been unlucky with. But you haven't been down there a ton either. Like, we spent a lot of time at the farm early on, and so... Who knows what'll happen.
And I feel like most the good hunts down there are morning hunts.
Yeah, which is tougher for your schedule to make work. And we only had one hunt where we didn't see anything. It was when you shot a doe down there. Mm-hmm. The other couple times we've been down there, we've at least seen deer. And I think the two or three times we've seen a handful of them. And you've spotted them first, which was kind of cool. But
yeah, that's my first time this year. I've spotted them probably... two or three times this year for the first time. Yay. Like, in the past, I'm like, how do you even see those? But I did realize I started wearing my glasses a little bit more. So I'm like, I could catch movement a little bit faster.
Oh, that blob's an animal.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know why, but recently I've been wearing my glasses more, and that's I think that's helping. But probably it helps, too, having more experience and being out in the woods more and kind of learning the patterns of, like, where to watch and – you know, we go to that same spot and this is where they come down. So watch this area or watch behind you, those kinds of things. So I've learned from you guys, just watching, being careful, like watching their patterns, looking for scrapes and trails where they've walked through and stuff like that.
Wow, you sound so smart.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
Well, I've listened to your podcast a couple times.
We listen to the podcast all the time.
It's a 24/7 podcast in our lives.
Our life is just one outdoors.
So, Madison, you've been going more with Austin. What have you found that you've kind of seen him grow in, or what you've grown in with being out in the woods a little bit more?
Ooh, tough question.
Tough question.
How have you grown?
I think we had the most fun deer hunt when he did get his doe, when you guys saw nothing.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Okay, wait, we did see, so when you guys sat past us, though, so we did, when we were walking in, I think you guys had kicked something up, and they kind of came down and went the opposite direction of where we were. So we saw something, just not while we were seated.
Yes, it was on the way. Anyway. Which I hate when that happens, when it's on the way.
That, like, counts halfway. It's like, if you're walking out and you see one, it's like, I kind of saw one, I guess. Like
saw,
it never feels like...
butt.
It never feels like a full-blown, like, yeah, I saw one. It was a nice buck. No, it was like, yeah, it was a nice buck. And I mean, kind of saw it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like that hunt because we literally just, like, hike in and go into a spot and kind of start setting up in one spot. And then we're like, okay, we need to get a little further in to the brush that we're not seeing. So we literally sit down, put everything down, and immediately a doe Was it a baby doe?
Mm-hmm,
it was like a yearling. A yearling comes out and is like hanging out. We're like, oh, cool, look at that. And then after like a few more minutes, like more start coming up through the trail.
Well, and this yearling literally came like 10 yards from us and is looking at us, doesn't know what we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, that was just cool because I was able to get Madison that close to a live animal. And
well, a live deer. I've been closer to live animals before. Well,
like a wild animal, like a, you know what I mean. Like
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm out.
But it was cool because it came so close and like there was so much brush and trees in front of us. I literally had my phone out and was recording this doe just hanging out right in front of us. And I was like, is he gonna see me? Nope, apparently not. Or she, who knows?
Yeah, I guess it could have been a buck, but who knows?
And then after that, bigger ones start coming out. And it just, like, happened so fast. I went from, like, okay, there's, like, a few hanging out around us. They're kind of just, like, checking it out. And then they kind of get spooked and run off. And we're like, okay.
One blew at me. So that meant any doe that comes out now is getting shot.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not going to shoot a doe. I'm not going to shoot a doe, guys. I'm not going to do that.
Because I had already, I had shot a doe that morning with, I think you were there. You weren't, oh no, that wasn't.
I think it was it Brian?
Yeah, Brian was there. I was alone. It was in the saddle tree that we've hunted in so much that I'm like, I think Cam was there. But I had shot one, so I'm like, I'm not going to shoot a doe. Yeah. And then you hear that blow, and I was
just like. We're
just
here to support Ashlyn. That's all we're here for, is to support Ashlyn and help when she gets her deer. And we're like, okay. So he's like, I'm not going to shoot one. It blows. He's like, okay, game on. And so the deer, like, leave, and so we're just kind of sitting there, and then this whole pack of huge doe come trotting in, and it's getting dark at this point, so I can barely even see them, but Austin's able to get a look at, well, you ended up chasing one.
I just kind of moved to get a better shot. I knew which direction they were heading, and I just snuck over to.
He moved, like, 5 yards closer, so I couldn't really see, but he could get a better look, because there wasn't as much brush where he was at. And all of a sudden I hear a whack. And then I see his little, what's the light called?
The knock.
The knock fly. And I can't tell if he hit it or not because it goes sprinting. And I literally watch it like do a 360 around me and then disappear into the woods. And so I was like, okay, maybe he got one, maybe not. Wasn't really sure how the rest of the night was going to go. I know you guys weren't seeing anything when you were sitting, so I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. So, sadly, he hit a gut shot for that one, though. So I had to help with the light.
It was not a pretty gut job just because I had hit the gut. I did clip along. I'm pretty sure I didn't stick around to find out, but the doe died pretty quickly, and it was a pretty devastating hit.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Grim Reaper Carnivores. They are accurate out to 82 yards. Clyde.
No, but I was nervous we weren't going to be able to find it, honestly. And this little fox ends up leading us, like, right to it. And I was like, I love foxes. So I was like, wow, this is perfect.
It was pretty cool. It was a cool moment, and it was a cool hunt because we were there for 2 hours, I think, and there was not a second that we did not have deer. Like, I chased the ones away from us, went back, sat down, looked over at a tree, and was like, that looks like a deer. And sure enough, all of a sudden, just they came flooding out of the woods. And I was like, well, game on. And I'm not really sure if I shot the one that blew at me, but
I don't think you did.
Feels right.
It made me so mad that in my mind, every doe had blown at me in the woods. Because this spot, too, isn't a spot we typically get blown at. So
I get blown at every time I'm seated there and see deer.
I think deer blow at me, too. So maybe it's us.
Every time they're stomping and they're blowing, and Austin or Cam's like, shoot it. It's blowing at you. I'm like, I can't. There's a yearling. Sorry.
I think, yeah. Some of that, too, is just the fact that we're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point in this spot, it's so tight that they have to move past you. And so whichever way, either they're coming and they're going to smell you, or they move past you and they smell you. you're just counting on the fact that you can get a shot before that happens, which a lot of the times it has. Like, we've had shots at them. It's just, okay, we don't want to shoot them. But, yeah, you get smelled pretty quick here if you're on the ground.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to see them because I don't think I've ever been able to watch them, like, actually try to smell you. Like, they literally lift their faces up.
It's amazing how fast they can peg you. I mean, like, we sit in a pretty concealed spot. And they come down the hill, and if your wind's wrong, they're just looking dead at you.
Yeah.
It's like, how? We didn't move at all.
Right.
It's crazy.
And let me just say, I have not washed my hunting clothes, so I'm, like, a little paranoid that if I wash them, they're going to smell my clothes more. So so I'm just, like, haven't washed those yet, so maybe they're picking up on my smell as in a stink, but they're not picking up on laundry detergent. No. So I don't know. I don't know. Got to do something better to mask my smell, I guess.
So, we have rifle literally, well, I guess when this airs, it'll be this past weekend we start rifle. Who, I'm assuming you two are hunting together, who gets the first shot?
If it's Thatcher, me.
I honestly, I'm not saying this to just be like the unselfish, humble person, but from our experiences this year, it has been really rewarding, like, watching other people shoot deer. And I've already killed two deer and a turkey, so I'm not that worried about it. And I'm taking off that whole week. So my schedule is allowing me to go out more. If she's with me, I'm going to let her shoot whatever. And if she, for whatever reason, doesn't want to shoot something, doesn't feel comfortable, and it's big enough, maybe I'll shoot it. But if she's going to be with me, I'm giving her first dibs just because she doesn't get to go out very much. And we've been really, you know, thankful to have good weather. But I know as soon as it gets cold, she's not going to want to go as much, which I understand. But we've got good weather for rifle season. She's only going to get to go a couple times, and I'm going to get to go for, like, over a week straight.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I think, how we'll play it.
So I'm curious, kind of going off your answer there, in your mind, like, what is your caliber of deer? Because I think it's pretty much determined that we're probably opening weekend, at least opening day at the farm. But like you said, you have that whole week where we can go, and I think I'm going to try to take that whole week too. We can go chase, you know, some other deer that may be bigger. What kind of caliber deer are you holding yourself to at the farm?
It has to be 8 points for me, for sure. There is a big seven that I would think about shooting him, but it has to be 8 points. It's got to be bigger than the one that I already shot for sure. And there's only really, based on what we've seen on camera, granted, anything can happen during the rut and rifle season, deer getting pushed around, but up to this point, there's only two, maybe three deer that I would shoot at the farm, and we hardly ever see them. So I'm holding out hope, but the farm is tough because, like you said, we're the primary managers there, so we control the population. We control what we see next year based on what we shoot this year. So it's hard to shoot smaller deer for us because we hunt so much and we know what we've got on camera there and other places. The flip side of that is we don't know how long we'll be able to hunt there, and we both want things, you know, we both want deer hanging up on the wall just as memories of being there. So for me, it definitely has to have, it has to have 8 points. Kind of the rule of thumb for me is if I see it, I'm excited, I'm probably going to shoot it. Yeah. What does that look like exactly? Honestly,
it kind of... Spike buck.
I've never been excited to see a spike buck. I basically know my hunt's ruined when I see a spike buck.
You're going to see the biggest spike buck and be like, yeah, I'm taking it.
No.
It's going to have like foot-long spikes.
Unless it has like foot-long spikes, then I would consider it for sure. But that's kind of the rule of thumb for me. I, you know, I haven't shot enough bucks to be super picky, but the farm is tough because you get both sides of the coin where we're managing it, but we also love hunting there. We don't know how much longer we'll be able to be out there with family hunting. So let's get what we can up on the wall.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. I think there are two deer that I've seen. I think that big seven, I need to see the big seven to make that decision.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But the big eight, that eight is a nice buck. I really like that one. And then The 10, I go back and forth on, actually. I think I'd end up shooting him because it'd get me excited, and I'd be like, yeah, I want that deer. But I also am kind of like, what could he become? Because, like, his last, like, he has, like, crab claws on the end of his tines, and I'm kind of like, oh, that could develop into something really cool. And I don't know, he could end up like Rufus and hit by a car, you right. know,
that's
too.
That's what I was going to say. It's like he could be end up being something pretty or end up roadkill.
Or horrible. A neighbor shoots him. Yeah. It's I mean, tough.
Just where we're at, it's so hard to manage him because we are the managers. But so many of our deer get shot or hit by cars just because of where the location that the farm is in. Oh. And, you know, the way our land sits in that area as well, it's very much a pass-through property. Deer on our property and then off our property consistently throughout the day. So it's kind of like, all right, is this deer going to make it through? And I know all the deer we're talking about, like we're talking about the 10-point, the 8-point, that's a big buck for people out there. Like yeah. those deer are like trophy mounting deer up there. And you and I are kind of like, yeah, we want those deer. Those are cool deer, but we're also chasing those bigger ones too that, you know, it might be worth letting some grow, but like I said, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, in the moment, it can be a toss-up at times, and I don't know. We'll just see how it goes. What do you think, Ash? What's on your hit list?
Thatcher.
Thatcher, of course, but there are other deer out there that I think you would probably shoot.
Yeah, if the doe is bigger than my dog, probably shoot it.
And doesn't have a baby.
Yeah, and doesn't have a baby. There's certain parameters. last year, pretty much my only shot that I was close to taking was a doe that I convinced myself that was the size of my dog, and that made it hard for me to shoot. So as long as it doesn't, you know, resemble that, I think I'll be okay. Thatcher's kind of my main priority, but you all tell me all the time to, you know, your first shot might not be the best. You might get excited. You might get jittery, whatever, nervous or whatever it might be. Sometimes I think about, oh, you know, like if I take a doe, that'd be fine, you know. I think I want to get a deer this season, and that's my goal. If the 10-point walks out in front of me, I'm probably shooting it. If an 8, I am shooting it. If the 8-point walks out in front of me, if it's a big 7 instead of Thatcher, then I'm going to shoot at it. Mm-hmm. Really, honestly, anything. Spike buck, maybe. I don't even know. My goal is to get a deer by the end of the season. Right. So whatever I can get my hands on, then that's what I'm going to try for. But, yeah.
Yeah, whatever we can get your hands on.
Yeah, right. Which is funny because I'm always telling Cam, I'm like, yeah, I'll shoot the deer. And I've done gutting and stuff with them and my dad. And I think my dad taught me how to gut a deer last season with one of his. So I'm like, I can do that, but you guys can do the dirty work. I'm going to shoot the deer and you guys can help me clean it up. There you go. So yeah, that's my plan. So and getting my hands on it. It's not really getting my hands on it till after the guts are out.
Yep.
And like, there's so many things that you can learn from the first one that it really is important to shoot a first one. And of course, you know, you have to have parameters and things like that you're okay with, but also, you know, it's your first one. So I don't think she'll be super picky. She's going to know when she sees the one that she mm-hmm. wants to shoot. Oh, yeah. And that just hasn't happened yet, but that is something that happens, and it's different for everyone, but you know, when you see something you want to shoot. So I'm excited for it to happen. I think we got a pretty good chance this weekend.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think we can definitely tag on some does. I think the bucks, it seems like they're still chasing. You know, I haven't been really out in too much to watch, but seems like the rut is still ramping up, I would say.
I would say it's ramping up, which is really weird, but the weather's been so weird. Mm-hmm. And last weekend, Caleb and I, we saw that buck and that doe kind of getting a little frisky.
Wow, wow.
There was candlelight on the hillside.
Squirrels playing violins in the trees.
Cam and Caleb did not give them any privacy. I was kind of creeped out by that.
Oh, whatever. You would have been watching too. You would have been trying to get your camera out.
I would have my camera on it.
It was crazy. I don't think I told you this, but the like third or fourth time, she's looking right at us, and he kind of like comes up perpendicular to her, so like to her side, and like nudges her with his antlers and like moves her, and then they carry on with their business. But like he was bossing her around. It was It was interesting to see. I'd never seen that before, so it was a special moment for Caleb and I. I joked with Ash. We held hands, and we actually did. Hold hands.
And I'm sitting here, for those of you that can't hear my eye roll, my eyes are rolling.
Like, should we watch? This is nature right here. No, but anyway, back on track. I think it's definitely ramping up just based on seeing that. But a lot of our movement is still at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that tells us things are kind of still ramping up, because it really hasn't gotten cold consistently enough. So,
and I think looking at the weather, it's going to dip right before rifle, which could be really good for us. I think it's still going to be in like the 50s, but that's dropping 20, 30 degrees from what it has been this week.
It was 79 degrees today, so it was beautiful for me.
Yeah, and it was partly cloudy, so it was like an overcast kind of nice day.
It was perfect.
Yeah, we're going to have great weather. So as we kind of wrap up here, because I feel like we're just going to go places we don't want to go and ramble on if we stay on here any longer.
We need a detailed account of what you saw.
Oh my gosh, Caleb. Stop it.
I can get that for you.
You two can go hold hands and share the moment together.
This is getting weird.
Yeah, I was trying to rein us in here. I think a cool thing that we could do instead of around our campfire is just talk a little bit about the farm. If you could share either your favorite memory at the farm or what the farm has meant to you, as we're kind of gearing up for our tradition of going out to the farm for opening weekend, just share maybe your best memory or just generally what the farm means to you.
Well, I guess I'll start. The farm to me holds a lot of memories. It holds a lot of sentimental value, and it just, every season I get so excited about opening weekend, just because every year since our family moved out there, we've spent that weekend there, and just enjoying the time. And whenever Cam started coming around and hunting a little bit more, I would just go for fun and cook. And so when all the guys came in and were hungry for breakfast, my grandma and I had gotten up and we had cooked. And my grandpa, sometimes he'd come in early, or he wouldn't go out, and he'd sit there and watch us cook and talk to us and tell us stories. And I don't know, I just always look forward to that time of them sharing kind of their legacy with us and sharing their stories and why they have the farm, why this is why they do it, and this is why they're here close, is for family. And I think the farm just screams family for me. And this weekend in general, it's exciting to hunt, but it's just so fun to be with our family and with our loved ones, and especially right now in times of hardship and everything with our family. We're just, I think being together is a good thing right now for all of us.
Yeah, for those who don't know, for those who are people of faith, my grandpa has been going through some health stuff. So if you would just be praying for him, that would mean a lot to us. This will be one of the first deer seasons that I don't think he's actually been joining us in the woods. So that'll be a little different, but when I think of the farm, I think of live PD. Now that's one of the traditions we had for a long time, as we'd come in after a long day hunting and turn on live PD and then laugh at all the people in Greene County, Missouri.
I was going to say, and wait for our county to flash across the screen.
Yep, wait for our Greene County Sheriff's deputies and cheer them on.
So good to be home.
But But no, I'd echo what Ash said just about kind of family. It screams family and all of that. For the hunting side of it, since Ash already stole my answer, I think it's where I learned to hunt. You know, I started hunting in Illinois, but I mean, I look back at my first deer I killed out there. It was a probably 150-yard shot from the first, from the original Taj that was not very good at all. And it was about 150-yard shot at a doe that I was like, oh, cool, that's a it's a deer. Shot it. Now I'd never even flinch at that deer coming in just because it was so small as a button buck. And, you know, I remember how it got me excited, and now I look at it, and I'm like, now I chase. I've developed as a hunter, and I'm chasing those big deer and actually getting the opportunity to kill one of the bigger deer on the farm was really special this year just because it's like, you know, we started here with the button bucks, the does, all of that, and we've grown and we've learned, and, you know, you and Cam, you and I have done that together of – I think that's where we've developed as hunters, and it's been really cool, you know, just as a whole, looking at wind direction and different things. I mean, I think of our hunt last year where the doe circled us to get our wind and gave us a shot, and just things like that that we've learned has been really cool and helped us as we transition to other areas. I mean, there are just countless things I've learned out there that I could just keep going into, but that's the hunting side. But the more important side is the family side. I know the pattern of the big buck that came 10 yards from me. I know where he is. I know I can kill him. And I've been waiting to get my tag back so I could go down there. And part of me really wants to on Saturday just to go down there and take him out and be like, I've got it. But the family side of it is what's going. I'm like, I'm spending this time out at the farm with my family, getting to see Ash shoot one, getting to see my dad shoot one, getting to see Madison shoot one. Yeah, she didn't even know that she was going to hunt. But, you know, and it's fun just bringing that deer up, and everyone comes out and looks at it, and, you know, you have the same response, like, from my mom, my grandma, and everyone just like, oh, that's cute, or
grandma wants
oh,
to see
poor deer, yeah, or let me see the heart, like, all of those. Like, all those memories are just what I cherish most about it, and it's been fun getting to hunt there for the past, what's it been? Is this 7 years?
Yeah, I think so.
So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. Like,
I mean, the first
year of college, maybe?
I think the freshman year of college for us was the first time that we hunted out there. Mm-hmm. So.
And I would like to say Austin's first little Taj probably has the best view of the whole entire property.
Oh, it does.
It has a great
view. It has a fantastic view. So early season when the trees are changing, it's fantastic to sit there and just watch the sunset over the trees on the other side, and it's really pretty.
Yeah but you don't kill a lot of deer there.
No, you don't, but the views are nice.
One of my first memories of the farm was when Austin and I were actually dating, and he was like, hey, I'm going to my grandparents to hunt. And I was like, what? He's like, do you want to come? I'm like, I guess, like, I've never done that before. I don't even know what that's like. I don't even know if I'm going to enjoy it. And so we ended up going out. And at that point, it was just a tree stand that you sat in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know where I'm going.
Yep. It's where the Taj is now. Mm-hmm. It was my dad's original stand.
Yeah. But we're in the tree as we climb up and we're sitting. And I'm like, I am freezing. It is cold. Because this was rifle, like opening weekend of rifle season, or, you know, opening week of rifle when we went. And I'm like, I am so cold. I'm like, we're not seeing anything. And finally the sun starts like coming up and it's warming up a little bit. And I fall asleep a little bit, I think. And then all of a sudden I hear something. So I like wake up and turn. And of course, there's a whole gathering of doe and then one little buck that were there, and then buck starts blowing at us. But it was cool because it was the first time I've ever seen deer that close outside, because I've seen them like from inside a house looking out a window, but that was like the first time like actually being above them, and they're like running below me, and I'm like, oh wow. But, like, I did not know what a deer sounded like. So I was like, oh, it's a squirrel. Turned around real fast. No.
And she turned around so fast that I couldn't even get my hand over to touch her and say, do not move.
Yeah.
Because, you, like, if you've hunted long enough, like, even Madison can probably tell now.
Yeah,
there's a difference between squirrels and deer. And we had heard squirrels all morning. And then you hear that deer and you're like, that's a deer. And it was 10 yards behind us. So I'm moving slow because it's like, I don't want to scare them. And I just see her whip her head around and every deer just goes blowing out of there.
Yeah.
And one did give me a shot at about 120 yards, I think. And it was the morning hunt. And I was like, I really don't want to take a doe opening morning. So I didn't shoot, but. Yeah, that's a good memory.
That was my first time ever, and I did not know what I was getting myself into at that point.
Yeah, it's consumed your life a little bit, but
just a little bit.
And then a few years later, you got engaged, mm-hmm. right? In that similar spot, right?
Yeah,
it was back there by where the food plot is now.
And yeah, we got engaged, right?
Oh yeah, that happened.
Yeah, a perfect view from the Taj. I guess that probably is my better memory. I've been hunting.
My better memory.
I'm just in hunting mode. I'm like, oh yeah, that was at the farm. Yeah, yep. That was the better memory.
Yeah, I think
getting engaged. neither of us think about it.
Right.
You think about it.
I do because I was hiding where like the food plot is now because I was hiding there to take pictures of it. So I think about that spot being
that's so being funny. There. You're like, it's cold, guys. Hurry up.
So kind of close out the farm. I mean, of course, has a lot of really awesome memories, a lot of rich memories and moments. Mm-hmm. And of course, you hit on a great point, the family aspect. Even when, like, we weren't seeing anything, we were freezing our butts off, it was still fun to just come inside and catch up with everyone and sit on the couch and fall asleep watching live PD, take naps. Yeah, we got pictures of all the guys passed out. And so that's fun. You know, when I think of the farm, I think of first, though, for me. Like, I always wanted to go hunting growing up and just never had a place to go. So the farm gave me a great opportunity of a place to go. And that's kind of how I got my foot in the door. And then just learning with you guys, learning from you guys. I shot my first buck there, shot my first deer with a bow, a crossbow, got my first turkey there. Like, mm-hmm. there's just so many firsts that happened at the farm.
Fell in love for the first time.
At that point, we've been dating for a while.
Beautiful, that sun rising.
Uh-huh. No, the sun setting.
She's not there for the sunrise.
The sunrise at that point.
Just looks over. The glow, golden hour glow is on her. He's like, wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
from the original Taj.
Anyway, sorry.
No. Thanks for keeping this nice and light
Lots
for me.
First.
So I don't get too emotional here, but... No, it has a lot of great memories with, you know, family, with you guys, with Austin, of course. And it's just a special place. And like you said, that's the, you know, we both have places that we could go this weekend, but that's where we want to go because we have a tradition there. So I think we're all excited to be back there. And I guess we'll.
I'll add one thing.
Okay.
So I found the picture. I sent it to you. We could use it as the podcast photo, but it was 2017. So this is our seventh year.
Is it me? Do I look like a Oompa Loompa times 3? Okay, good.
No,
it's a photo of him.
This
you know.
Is me with it.
Oh, hey, I've got a picture like that at the farm too.
Yep. Where you're holding its ears just barely. Like, what is this?
We'll make a collage.
There we go. It's funny too because it's like, oh man, it's already gutted. Like, it was bigger before we gutted it. If you have to say that after you shoot a deer. That you know it wasn't that big. And I've done that recently, so.
Yeah.
You look so cute there.
You learned to take your pictures before you've gutted the deer.
That's right.
But, yeah, so this is our seventh year hunting there. And, I mean, the amount of stuff we've learned in the past 7 years just blows me away. I think about it quite a bit and just, like, I can't wait to see what year after year it brings. You know, however long we get to hunt there because it's been fun. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
With that, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. And we went way longer than we expected to. But if you guys enjoyed this podcast, leave it a rating or a review. That helps us out a ton. Reach out to us. Let us know what you think of the podcast. If you hate it, let us know. We love hearing that. If you like it, don't let us know because we don't. No, I'm kidding.
We love hearing
that
more.
Got that backwards. But seriously, thank you guys so much for listening. And good luck this season if you're out in the woods. Good luck as a lot of rifle season is start or rifle seasons are starting. Send us a picture of your deer so we can celebrate with you because we love doing that and love supporting you guys and because you guys support us. So with that, we'll wrap this up. Don't forget, all it takes is
just one.
Well done, guys.